Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We return now to Romans 10:14 and that series of questions posed by the Apostle Paul to force us to think through the ramifications of how the gospel message gets to people so that they can believe it. We read in verse 13, "For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we know that those who call upon Christ in faith from a heart of repentance, a heart that has been prepared by the Holy Spirit of God, will be saved. But then how shall they know to call on him, and so forth and so on. And that's the link that Paul is forging between believing the gospel and getting the gospel to those who need it so that they can believe it. So verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And in this discussion, we turned our attention yesterday to the whole question of being called to preach. And is this a commissioning of Christ or is this of the church? And I hope I have convinced you by now that it is both. Both a call, an inward call of the Spirit of God in the heart and life of a man that is recognized and affirmed by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the local church of which each person is a part, and the congregation of believers who knows this person and observes this person's life and testimony and gifts and commitment to Christ, and affirms therefore their conclusion that he has indeed been called of God to preach. How important it is to have both the inward call and the external confirmation of that call. And we also pointed out on the broadcast yesterday that when a person believes that they have been called to preach, they should not only wait for, they should not only enlist a confirmation from their church, but they also need to be willing to be trained. They need to seek appropriate training. And that too should be both a matter of their own inward inclinations and evaluations with the intelligence that is given to them by God and their sense of the leading of God's Spirit, along with the wisdom, the recommendations that are given to them by their church. This is all part of the process. It all goes together. And it is vitally important that men who are called to the ministry be properly and appropriately trained for this great work, which is indeed one of the most important tasks that a person can ever take. Now, whenever we talk about training for the ministry, someone will always object by raising examples of men who carried out outstanding public ministries and did not receive the customary formal training. And there are always exceptions to the rule. And one of the most notable exceptions to my knowledge is the great British preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was thrust into public ministry at a very early age when he was in his late teens, had such incredible gifts for public ministry that he was thrust into a preaching and pastoral ministry very, very early and never went to college or to Bible school or to seminary or the various types of schools that are set up for this kind of training, even though on one occasion he sought that opportunity and it eluded him, and he came to the conclusion that God did not want him to do that. And so he continued on with his public ministry and carried out one of the most outstanding ministries that this world has ever known. See there, says somebody, that's proof that men don't need to be schooled formally, don't need to have formal schooling in order to be effective preachers of God's word. Well, that's true. However, let's look at the life of Charles Spurgeon and let me point out a couple of things. Number one, he did have unusual schooling in an informal way from his family. His father was a pastor. His grandfather was a pastor. He had an immense library that was available to him from his father and his grandfather, which he read voraciously as a boy and continued to read as a man in his ministry. In other words, though he was not formally schooled, he was self-schooled to an unusually high degree. Disciplined and precocious, he was a student of the Word of God. He read hundreds, thousands of volumes of excellent doctrinal and theological works, and was very knowledgeable both of the Bible and of systematic theology and of history and of biography. It's amazing. It's amazing the learning, the knowledge that that man had. There are very few people who come anywhere close to that who have had formal training and advanced degrees. God gifted this man to be able to absorb this material by reading, primarily, to a degree that very few people are able to do. That's the first thing to note. In other words, though he was not formally trained, he was incredibly well taught. He was incredibly well informed. And that comes out in his preaching and in his writing. Number two, he started a school for preachers. He certainly wasn't opposed to education. He highly recommended it and established a school to train ministers of the gospel. If he was not sold on the importance of, yea, the necessity of this, why did he start a school? So to use him as an example that it's not necessary to have formal education is to ignore his own verdict on the matter, which is that he considered it normally to be necessary and started a school for that very purpose. A third thing I should point out in the case of Charles Spurgeon is that he is the author of scores of books. In addition to his sermons, and by the way, his sermons were transcribed by others, but he edited them. He certainly wasn't an ignorant man. He went through those transcribed sermons and proofread every one of them, made corrections, editorial notations. He was the editor of a Christian periodical, The Sword and Trowel, for many years, wrote articles for it, edited it, proofread it, read the works of others, other articles that were included in it. He did the work of the editor for that magazine, wrote a number of books and commentaries, which are still being read and studied to this day. In other words, you show me a man who says, you don't need formal education in order to be a minister, and I will show you a man who, in most cases, is not able to write articles and books, is not able to edit material, is not able to correct manuscripts. I will show you a person who does not have the training and intellectual and educational and professional capabilities of Charles Spurgeon. He had all these things. He acquired them apart from formal education, but it doesn't mean that he didn't have them. He had the equivalent of an incredible education. He was a well-educated man. A self-educated man, but a well-educated man. A man who understood language, a man who could read and write, a man who understood, who knew grammar and spelling and punctuation. And all of these things come out. In other words, he was far from the kind of I'm uneducated. I don't understand the rules of English grammar. I don't speak proper English, but I'm proud of it because I'm self-taught and the Holy Spirit teaches me. But it's the kind of attitude, I don't need to be taught by men, I'm just taught by God. I don't need those commentaries, I just read the Bible. Well, that's not Charles Spurgeon. If you're using him as a justification for that attitude, you're using the wrong man. That was not Charles Spurgeon. He never took that attitude. He never said, I'm taught by the Holy Spirit, therefore I don't need commentaries, I don't need books. He not only read hundreds of commentaries, he wrote a book evaluating commentaries. How many people can do that? Have read so many commentaries that you're able to evaluate them and tell others which ones you consider to be most valuable and which ones to be you consider to be less valuable and why. Talk about a man who read and studied commentaries. Here was a man who wrote a book entitled Commenting on the Commentaries and gave insightful evaluations of hundreds of commentaries that were available in his day. Can you do that? I couldn't do that. And I use commentaries, and I'm happy to be able to give opinions to others, and will do so verbally, but I don't think I'm prepared to put into writing, into print, for other people to read my evaluation of commentaries. I just don't have the level of expertise to be able to do that adequately. And I know that, though I have a master's degree, but I know that. So you can't use Spurgeon as an example of a man who was not formally schooled as an excuse to avoid training. Here's the point. God trains his preachers in different ways, and he has different methods for different ones. And in the case of Charles Spurgeon, God used unusual ways to train him because he had unusual gifts and could acquire training in ways that most people could not. But here was not a man who disdained formal education, who despised it, who rejected it, who ignored it, who shunned it. Here's a man who actually sought it, and God closed the door through a circumstance that I'm not going to take time to explain. If that's your attitude, that you want it, you really want it, you're willing to have it, you'd like to have it, you really want it, but for some reason God closes the door and trains you in other ways, then if in fact that's what God has done in your life, that will come out in your ministry as it did in Spurgeon's. You will be known by others that you are a man who is qualified for ministry, though not in the usual ways of qualification. But until you are willing to be trained, are willing to go to school, value education, value reading, value books, then I don't think you are qualified for public ministry. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.